There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along on this Tuesday. Phone number, text line 343-0106, 343-0106. You can hop through, and it's your chance to ask the sheriff, because it's the second Tuesday of the month. And I look up, and there's Mobile County Sheriff Sam Cochran. Hello.
Good afternoon, Sean, and all you listeners. Glad to be here.
Yeah, lots to do. Glad to have you in here and lots to talk about, because we're talking about the regular questions of law enforcement, and then when the world of the law enforcement and the legislative branch meet, because so many times during session, you're in here talking with me when there's bills that absolutely pertain to law enforcement.
That's correct. You know, I always say when the legislature's in session, the state of Alabama is at high risk.
I think I maybe made the jokes no more than seven times today with Florida, calling off or canceling the House of Representatives there in Tallahassee because of coronavirus fears. I was wondering, waiting for the story from Goat Hill to happen, but we didn't. They just gaveled in 8 minutes ago, so then they're back at, air quotes here, work in Montgomery. I want to ask you, in retrospect, one of the bills that overwhelming support, I think actually it passed out of the House unanimously, or maybe one voting. I think it was unanimously. It's the Anaya's Law.
Yes.
That Representative Brown brought up. That. When's the last time we saw something get unanimous vote?
Exactly. Amazing. What a year's worth of difference makes in unfortunately, the loss of a human life.
Yep.
I was very pleased to see that, and I hope we can get it out of the Senate. Of course, that's the one that would allow judges after a hearing to hold someone without bond if they're found to be a violent offender, likely to violate again while out on bond, and high risk to the community.
You know, this is... and when I first heard the bill before digging into it, I was like, oh my gosh, it's going to be in trouble here because, you know, it's going to be a constitutional challenge. But it doesn't require the judge to release that person. It gives them the option. It doesn't compel them or require them to, right?
That's right. Currently, you have a constitutional right in Alabama for a bond on any charge except for capital murder. With the death penalty. So people that have killed people get out on bond and kill again. People that rob people get out and rob again. In the high-risk people like that, it will at least allow the district attorney to put forth evidence why the judge ought to consider not allowing them to have bond at all.
And the thing calling it Anaya's Law, the suspect in that case,
awful.
He was out on bond for doing exactly what he was accused of doing to Anaya Blanchard.
Yeah, an attempted kidnapping in a robbery case, out on bond, and then he kidnaps her and kills her.
I mean, I think that it's so sad, but the silver lining to that is that really, when it was given Anaya's Law in that name, I think it really told people, look what this is about. This is not a theory or a maybe. Here's an exact way it would have helped.
That's right. And bless their hearts, her parents
oh my gosh,
testified at the legislature, and I think there wasn't a dry eye in the place.
So that has been a victory.
Yes.
And I can't imagine if it comes out, if it's a unanimous vote in the House, even if there's a, I mean, I know the Senate can do its own thing, but I can't imagine the Senate derails this.
I should hope not, but that's where it died last year.
I know, but I think they have.
I think we're in good hands this time.
All right. And I want to talk about a couple other bills that are going on in Montgomery right now, but we'll go to the phones as we start off here. And by the way, phone number 343-0106, 343-0106, your chance to ask the sheriff, Mobile County Sheriff Sam Cochran, in studio right here answering your questions. JD in Mobile, first up, you're on with Sheriff Cochran.
I had a question for the sheriff. I heard he's going to be on the Blue Ribbon panel to study the lottery or something. and I was just wondering if maybe he could make a suggestion. I don't know whether he'd agree with it. He might would, but I was going to run it by you. But
he's
I heard
right here. Yeah.
That they were going to provide free tuition to college students and all. I don't really agree with that, but if that's what they're going to do, I think if you sign up for it and you go all the way through with it, you know, that's fine. Pay it. But if you go for a year or two or three semesters or whatever, and then you decide, well, this is tougher than I thought it was going to be, and then you back out and then you walk away hands-free, well, still somebody, that money could have been used somewhere else. You know, I'm thinking it ought to be some kind of obligation. If you're going to look at it like, I'm going to get a free college education, and you go up there and then say it's tougher and then you don't do it, you ought to be obligated to the time you were there.
Yeah, well, I can't exactly answer that question, but I know where it comes from. The state of Georgia has free tuition that's funded by their lottery bill that's been in effect for many, many years. And so I think that's something that, just depending upon what eventually comes with the gambling and lottery in Alabama, then I think the legislators will be the ones to make the determination of where and if any of those proceeds go. But I'm on this panel tasked by the governor where we're going to study several issues of gambling. What's the benefits of it for the state? What's the what's the problems with it? What problems would it be? Is there anything unique about Alabama that this type of gambling or that form of gambling would be better than elsewhere? And what's the experiences of other states that have entered into it? So we're going to get just all the facts is what the governor has tasked us with doing, to where she can then present all the facts to the legislators and to the public, because ultimately the public is the one that has to decide to vote to approve some of that stuff.
Okay, I appreciate it. I didn't know what you could make a suggestion or recommendation or something since you're on the panel, but you're only looking at that. You're looking at other stuff.
We may can get into some of that, but we're going to hear from all the experts are going to come, and we're going to have hearings, and we're going to hear the pros and the cons, and then we're going to look at the financial stuff of it, and there may be something that comes out about where are recommendations, but the panel is left open. We don't have to make a recommendation. We can make a recommendation as a panel or as individuals to the governor.
Hey, thanks, JD, for the call.
Good question.
And I have left you alone on that.
Yeah.
It's been very hard for me to leave you alone on that because I have, you know, my commentary. I see, you know, for what it's worth, I see two different discussions. The compact is something new and it has depth and nuance to it. The lottery, I think we've looked at this before. But that's, okay, I'll leave you.
I've had a lot of experience in gambling in my 45 years. I told them I used to make arrests in crap games and in skin games as a young patrolman, and then I was a co-agent on probably the largest sports betting case in federal court here probably 25 years ago. And then, of course, I've shut down some illegal bingo halls, and I've followed the debates like everybody else. And, you know,
it just seems like lotto.
We just got to put them back together.
And the only other thing, just to be, you know, I don't know if I'm on record. There's no record for me. But the question about, I know Alabama Policy Institute and others I've gotten in debates with about the ill effects, the social ills of gambling. Mm-hmm. But I don't disagree. Those are a thing. But I would just offer that there are people that are going gambling elsewhere now, losing money and bringing those social problems back home to Alabama.
And some would argue that if you legalize different forms of it or whatever, then that would put the illegal groups out of business, because the people would go to the legal places where they know that there's a commission or somebody overseeing them and making sure they're doing things on the up and up.
All right, let's go to Sherry. She's in Wilmer. You're on with Sheriff Cochran.
Hey, Sheriff. Hope you're doing well today.
Yes, thank you.
Good. I wanted to talk about something that apparently a lot of people don't care too much about in Mobile County, and that is the litter.
Oh,
litter
yes.
is just awful, and it just seems to be getting worse. I live out in the Wilmer Lot Road area, and the roads out there are just terrible. Now, I see sometimes the prisoners out picking up, or people doing community service, I guess, too, out picking up litter, but I haven't seen them in a long time. I was just going to ask you what's going on with that.
Well, the state, I think, are probably the prisoners that you've seen, although many years ago we did have some county inmates that did get out and pick up litter from time to time. But we've got most of our inmates that are able to leave the jail during the day working in some work release programs, earning some monies and paying back to the jail about 35% of their earnings. And so that program's working really well. I think we have 53 currently employed this week outside of the jail. But we don't have as many misdemeanor prisoners in jail anymore. But I wholeheartedly agree with you. Our county is trashed, and it's terrible. You look at a telephone pole, and sometimes they have 9 or 10 signs nailed up and down the poles, and of course there are some that run for political office and never pick their signs up and litters the road and things like that. So I'm with you, Chair.
Well, I mean, there are people that just stop and throw their bags of trash out on the road out there. It's just ridiculous.
Have you ever witnessed that? Have you seen it happen before, Sherry?
I have.
And I have too. And it makes me like. Like the way the Incredible Hulk used to go, like turn green, his eyes turn red. I go through that. I do not get it. We'll just hold a bag of trash out the window and drop it.
Yes.
Terrible. It's just getting worse and worse.
Well, last year I tried to work with some of our state legislatures in hopes that they could pass a bill, but there's some of the main corporations that you'd think would be against it don't want to get involved in it with some of their properties that the signs are put upon.
Sherry, thanks for the call. We appreciate it.
Yes.
That's a whole other can of worms. But once you open that can of worms, except I've never seen worms come in a can, but once you once you open that, you should throw that away. The styrofoam container of worms.
There's some intersections of stops, locations you stop, and it's like that's their dumping off place for beer bottles, cans, and hamburger bags.
Preach. All right, coming back with Mobile County Sheriff Sam Cochran. Your chance to ask the sheriff, 343-0106.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile online at FMTalk1065.com. Check us out on Facebook.com/FMTalk1065, Instagram, Twitter, all over the place. If we knew how to TikTok, we'd probably be there too, but there's nobody young enough here to figure that out. All right, continuing our conversation with Mobile County Sheriff Sam Cochran, your chance to ask the sheriff. And we'll do that. I want to go to Bart first because we were just talking about litter there in Sims and Bart, who or litter in Wilmer. Bart and Sims, you're on with Sheriff Cochran. You got an idea?
Yes, sir. I've done this before myself personally. I'm not saying everybody should do this, but I picked up the wrong area where I keep our area clean and ditches and stuff ourselves, and found some pieces that a lot of trash was there. So I found a piece with a envelope with an address on it. I found a little UPS box with address, same address. I went to the address and I told them about it, and I give them 1 hour to pick this trash up or I'd take these pieces to the sheriff's office. Well, they had it picked up in less than an hour. I don't suggest everybody doing that, but you know, unless you're ready to back it up.
Yeah, well, that's one way to say, hey, y'all didn't get away with this,
right? And it's all over the place. You can do that. I've done it. And these signs, you know, when you had enough of these signs, you can take them up. I called the people, you know, that's in charge of the right-of-way commission, whatever. It is not illegal to pick these signs up. You can pick up any sign you want to as long as it's on the right-of-way.
Yes.
There ain't nothing they can do about it. It's illegal to put them there, not pick them up.
That's right.
There we go. I didn't know that. Bart, thanks for the call. So we could go collect them.
Yeah, if they're on the right of way, you know, and most people running for candidates try to put their signs not on the right of way, but on somebody's property with permission. But just stabbing them on the right of way, and you see a lot of candidates do that. And a lot of times, people running statewide, you can see they must have had somebody just drive through our town and stick them out there on the sides of the roads. I've done some of that myself, pick them up because you know they care nothing about us. They're just trying to get their name out there.
All right, Freddie in Mobile up next. You're on with Sheriff Cochran.
Yeah, good afternoon, Sean. Good afternoon, Sheriff.
Good afternoon, Freddie.
My question was around the HB 74, which is a hands-free Alabama bill that will mandate that people not drive with their phones in their hands.
Yes.
I was rather disappointed in that the fine was rather low, I thought, at $100. It needs to be at least $500 for the first offense. I mean, you've got to start hitting people where it hurts, and it hurts most in the wallet, apparently. It's kind of like when my kids were younger, the quickest way to that brain was through that rear end, and apparently that works for adults, too.
Yeah, I certainly support that. I don't know what the rationale for that fine, and it may be a stepped-up fine, but sometimes it has to do with just being able to get the bill through passed. If they put it too steep, sometimes the legislators don't feel like it'll get through there, and I don't know if that's the thought of it. But certainly it'd be
I saw a young lady this morning. I was driving back from the doctor's, and she had her cell phone in the middle of her steering wheel, and she was paying attention to it and almost rear-ended the vehicle in front of her instead of paying attention to driving. And I just... As a motorcyclist, and you know I'm Dixie Bait, and you know as a motorcyclist that distracted driving is one of the biggest things that hurts us,
sure
other than the fact that ourselves. So.
Yeah.
But thanks for the answer.
Yes, sir. Thank you for calling.
All right. We'll take a my question's stacked up here, but I will wait and ask my questions after Carl and Theodore talks to Sheriff Cochran. You're on there.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
Sheriff, you're doing a great job. We appreciate you.
Thank you.
I live out in Theodore. I've been out there about 20 years, and it has gotten so bad as far as the homeless people scouting around. I'm talking about from, like, Bellingraph Road on down to past Winn-Dixie a ways. But there's, like, at any given time, there's 10 or 15 people standing around out there. You know, and they're camping out in the woods, and they're begging for money. I guess they're not breaking any laws, so there's nothing you guys can do, is there?
Well, we run off a homeless camp that was on private property back behind the Waffle House a couple of months ago for a commercial businessman that was trying to sell the property, and we ran them off and actually arrested three or four of them because they had outstanding warrants. But it is a difficult challenge with, you know, you have homeless people come down here. Many of them are mentally ill, and of course, the wintertime drive some down here, too. But and that's kind of in that in-between us and the city, too, jurisdiction-type issues, too, right in that area. And,
I was wondering about that. It's y'all kind of share that with the city, right?
Yeah, it's in the police jurisdiction. When the city, a few years ago, annexed that land, they went out Highway 90 way out, I think, almost to Bellingraph Road or somewhere out in that way, and they took that area over. But those have mostly been pushed out from inner city, and of course we deal with some out at Grand Bay at the interchange from time to time, and there's homeless camps.
Right.
But
well, some are kind of scary looking, and when they come up to your car, you don't really know what their intentions are, and most of them know me, and they don't bother me too much, but it's just terrible down there.
Yes, it is. It's
Carl, appreciate that.
I'll have our people try to take a closer look at it.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks for the call.
Hey, thanks for the and once that's one of the questions there that you kind of heard. You probably saw my eyebrow go up when we talked about that area between the city and the county. Where do we stand with this? I mean, last time you were in, we had talked about you kind of rolling out the numbers that if the police jurisdiction was pulled back, you would need essentially. How many officers? How many deputies?
About 48 deputies to do both the patrol and the detective work that backs them up and stuff like that.
Where would you get those?
Well, it'd be very difficult. We wouldn't be able to hire them right away. It'd take a matter of years to hire that many deputies, and the county would have to come up with the money because the county doesn't have taxing authority to, say, replace the sales tax that the city currently charges to pay for their officers. We don't have that authority to do it. So if they pulled it up, it would be disastrous for those citizens and all like that. But you
pointed out, I mean, because, I mean, you're police chief, you're sheriff, and you know how this, better than anybody that I know, you know how this works. You said one of the places you would go looking would be the Mobile Police Department,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, we get a lot of our deputies come from the Mobile Police Department. They get hired over there, go through their academy, work a few years, and many of them say they always want to be a deputy sheriff. But
so here would go the officers.
The city does, and so they get more of the hires. We only have so many positions, but for the last 2 years, we've had positions opening, and so a number of officers from the police department come over to us.
I mean, I'm not trying to start problems. I'm just trying to talk facts, and you had said it before. I mean, that this would be a place. I mean, if people talk about pulling in from the police jurisdiction, we'd have all these more officers to work inside Mobile City limits, but then you'd be tasked with taking care of that area of 70,000 people, and you're saying that one of the places you would look to is right those.
Well, I wouldn't have to look if they'd come to you. I was hiring 40-something deputies, there'd be a rush. The only reason I don't perhaps hire more MPD officers is because we don't have as many openings. It takes time to fill our positions too. But it's a struggle for us. It's a struggle for the police department. It's a struggle for all the local law enforcement agencies. We historically have not. It's not always about pay, but a lot of times it's pay and benefits. But then political interference and stuff. And, and you know, they asked me at that city council meeting why were they leaving the police department. I said, well, it's money and benefits, but it's less political interference and stuff. You know, they work for me, the deputies, and I work for the county citizens. But over there, you've got a number of elected officials that sometimes want to encroach into the administrative side of things, wanting to know why officers are doing things. And, you know, when you have a council member or somebody like that demanding to know why an officer did this or did that or speaking out against them, they feel that personally.
And so that's a reason that
that's a big reason
they come knocking on the door of the sheriff's department.
Yes, I used to have interference when I was police chief, and in fact we took it in stride, but it was all in trying to, you know, build relationships. But there was many times we'd have to answer questions that were funneled to us by the city council.
All right, coming right back, we'll come back to the phones at 343-0106. Your chance to ask the sheriff, Mobile County Sheriff Sam Cochran, our guest.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile. Your chance to ask the sheriff, Mobile County Sheriff Sam Cochran, our guest. And Tim is in Mobile up first on with Sheriff Cochran. Hey, Tim.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
I just sent you a picture of the street right there, Water Street and Government Street. I wanted you to look at that picture. It's been like that since before Mardi Gras, and that's the first impression people get when they come off of the interstate into Mobile to park right there at the foot of Royal Street. The trash is built up right there. That's right here on the main street.
Along the curb there, I'm seeing. Is that what?
Yeah. You said just cut the grass, but nobody swept up the cigarette butts, just like the sheriff was saying. People stop, and there's all kind of trash right there. But there's even more trash up the road a little bit as you come. So that's first impression of Mobile when somebody mentioned about Mobile being a dirty city. There it is, coming off either interstate. That's what you're going to see when you stop your car. Now, my next question is, you ever heard the quote Gomer Pyle, citizens arrest, citizens arrest? Can you still do that? Can you still do a citizens arrest if you see somebody breaking the law? And the second part of that is, like, if I video someone going down the road and I see them either throwing trash out or they threw the first bag out and they're getting ready to chunk the other one or cigarette butt at a light, can I videotape that and then send it with the license plate all at the same time and send it somewhere to the sheriff's department where you would then cycle through it and see the actual event happen or whether they do a wrong turn? Like a lot of times over there in the Baldwin County, people will get in the yellow non-turn lane that's striped off yellow, so it's a shorter turn lane, but people will actually go through that lane to get to the light, whereas I'm waiting to hang a left at any given position, and they just go right to that yellow marked off spot and get in line and create a new line. So that's illegal.
One of our big hindrances for an officer to write a ticket, they have to see the violation. It's a violation has to be witnessed by the officer. Now, if you had the information and video, we could allow a citizen can actually sign a traffic warrant or a warrant on a person when you see that. And then, of course, there's another idea that if you get video, that we get somebody to post it to kind of where you shame the people in it. And
you have a place to send that already at the sheriff's department?
Well, if you got a good video, we'll sure shame them. You can send it to our website.
Okay.
Yeah, or their face. We do make that sure on Thug Thursday and Felon Friday, and it really works well.
It's a good idea,
okay.
Tim.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you for your concern.
Something be said for shaming.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, there are some people without shame, but most people be.
See Nick Saban every year. It seems like sometime during the season he has one or two players that screw up, and boy, you can tell he's just been waiting for them. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. Here you go. Jack is in Sims. You're on next. Hey, Jack.
How many calls, Sam, you get today?
Hey, Jack, good.
I'm talking about all day long.
Oh, you know a bunch, you know.
Yeah, 100 to 150. Mainly, I want to just thank you for the job your deputies are doing at Sims. It's the greatest thing we ever did. I'd sit on my front porch and about every 30 minutes want to come by.
So, yeah. It's been a good relationship contracting with the city of Sims. It's a plus for them, and it's a plus for us. It ensures that y'all get really good quality policing out there in Sims under their
You have a few complain, but they don't understand law enforcement's a bell curve. It's up and down,
that's
up
right.
and
Can't
down.
Can't make everybody happy. Absolutely.
All right. Anyway, I wanted mainly to tell you that. They're doing a good job, and you got it covered out here, and we appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you,
sir. Thanks, Jack. Thanks for the call. And by the way, that's one that you had talked about before in dealing with municipality, but in the county. Mm-hmm. How does the deal with Sims work? How does that work with the Sheriff's Department?
We price out the cost of our deputies, the cost of the automobile, the gas, the price of the firearms, equipment, bullets, and everything. And we prorate it, I guess, if you would. Like we have the car, and they pay us so much for the car, and the car gets purchased again every 3 or 4 years, and so they're paying the actual cost, and so we're not losing or supplanting anything or providing anything. They're paying for it, but because through economies of scale, we can do it cheaper.
Y'all can do it cheaper. That's what I wanted to get to.
And we already had a precinct out there right adjacent to the city of Sims, and now it's in the city of Sims, I think, and so we utilize our same offices, and so it saves them from having to have the fleet management, a headquarters, a dispatch thing, and a mini jail, and all that kind of stuff. So it's been a win-win. A lot of small cities across the state are going to that model. Montgomery does a lot of it. Baldwin County does some of it. And Sims was the first one that we've done in Mobile County.
Yeah, we talked earlier about what goes on in Montgomery, how it affects law enforcement, one of the bills about police jurisdiction and pullback.
Yeah. I would like to see police jurisdictions phased out, but it'd have to be phased out over time, and it would eliminate a lot of problems of, right now the city of Mobile is threatening to roll the jurisdiction back, as we've mentioned a couple of times already, and that's problematic. But if it was not a jurisdiction, of course, we wouldn't be having this discussion.
Right. I mean, it wouldn't be you. And one thing, growing up around here, you always just kind of, there's the city limits, and then there's the police jurisdiction, and not till you get outside Alabama, go other places.
Yes.
That does not exist.
Exactly. And see, some people may get services and some don't. Somebody across the street may get garbage pickup, but you're paying not quite as much taxes across the street in the jurisdiction, and you're not getting garbage and trash pickup,
right,
but you want it. And so that's the debate out there, that a lot of people would like to come into the city of Mobile, and
there were 13,000 that were at least wanted the right to vote on that recently. You get there, and we always, public safety, and rightfully so, is first in services. But you're right, there are other services to go with being inside a city. Because I would say, in the list of things people wonder about during any times of whether we have a natural disaster or if we have odd schedules for holidays, law enforcement, and then who's picking up garbage?
That's right. It's important for me, garbage and trash pickup. And I've heard people complain about it, but I've lived 16 years where I'm at, and I've never had a complaint with garbage or trash pickup. They come in my neighborhood like clockwork.
The only thing that ever happened to me, it wasn't them, but somebody stole one of my
garbage
city mobile garbage cans. So if we put a bolo out on that, somebody's taken it. I wish I had gotten the number on it. All right, and One more thing is something we had talked about in the past, I know is moving through. I talked about it with Representative Stringer here on the show.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to concealed carry and how that is applied all over the 67 counties of the state of Alabama, what are the issues here? Can you give me the simple version of this?
Historically, for 100 years, the sheriffs have been the ones that issued concealed carry permits within their own county. They look up the records of the individuals. They may know the individuals in smaller counties, and they make a decision. Well, over the last several years, the legislature has really been, I guess you'd say, encroaching, but it's their right to pass laws to take the authorities away from the sheriffs. And we fight them most every year on some of these things. There's a constitutional carry bill up there, which would do away with concealed carry permits and anybody could carry a gun anywhere they want to, just about no permit, no background checks. So a year or so ago, some of the leadership wanted us to maybe do a better job between the sheriffs in keeping track of who has a permit and when it's been revoked or something. So we agreed to create within the sheriffs a database that we could share with other law enforcement to where they could determine if somebody's pistol permit was revoked or not and they still had it, or, you know, and let us know. So we started doing that. We created a database. Well, then all of a sudden, a freshman legislature proposed a bill to take the authority of the sheriffs away from him and create a state run by the state ALEA database and turn over the majority of the revenue to the state, and then the state would be the ones to revoke or issue or renew and stuff. And we just felt like the experiences we have had with the state and their data systems has not been good, plus a lot of our constituents don't want the state to get into one database, because if you had a liberal governor and a liberal president and a, you know, say Bloomberg would have got in there, you know, they may say, we want to know who all in the state of Alabama has it. Well, at least the sheriffs are constitutional officers and they can defend their constituents' rights within the individual counties. But if you put all that together, then there were some other arguments. If state puts it on the driver's license, many people, when they travel up in, you know, Northeast and some of these more liberal states, if they get stopped, they don't want the officer in that state maybe to know that they have a concealed carry. Right. There are some police agencies, and they shouldn't be any around here anymore, I hope, that when they find out somebody has a gun, the first thing they want to do is, let me look at your gun. They want to run a check on it. Well, there's no probable cause to do that, but we just believe and maintain. So Representative Stringer is carrying the bill for the sheriffs, but it's met a lot of resistance, and Representative Chauncey Robinson, I think is his name, is pushing this other bill for the NRA, as well as they're pushing that constitutional carry. Now, you know, we try to tell them what's best for law enforcement and for the citizens, and this pains me a lot. You know, we were against 18-year-olds having pistol permits, but it was forced down our throat. We wanted that to be at the discretion of the sheriff and not shall issue. But, you know, we had an 18-year-old issued a pistol permit in Montgomery County, and we have a dead sheriff just south of Montgomery County by that 18-year-old having a permit.
Yep, that's for sure. Very deadly year, and that one,
You know, and constitutional carry. See, some kid could get out of the youth home, turn 18, and have a long list of robberies and other things, and immediately start carrying a gun. Nothing we could do about it because his record is wiped clean. They ought to listen to law enforcement. We've been doing this a long time.
I have to get you back in to talk about this soon. And I see you got a press conference tomorrow morning.
Yes.
It just says you got a press conference. Where is it? And can you? I mean, what are you?
I'm holding a press conference at 9:30 in the morning, and I don't want to get off into what all I'm going to do, the details, but suffice to say it's going to go into the issues concerning annexation and the issues with the city and the county and how we're involved in all that mess.
Okay. So 9:30 tomorrow morning, where?
At the city-county complex in the in the lobby.
All right. So that's – and
it
that
should be an exciting day.
See, he does this. Yeah. I'm supposed to be the one that does the tease and the cliffhanger and all that, and the sheriff has done it, as always.
That's potential to be a big, big story.
We'll be watching
a very positive success.
All right, so I can get your book back on the show?
Yes, sir.
All right.
As soon as possible.
Absolutely. Mobile County Sheriff Sam Cochran, thank you for your time. Thanks for being on.
Sean, as always, thank you, too.
All right, coming right back, talk about the Touch a Truck event coming up, which is really cool for big kids and little kids. And when you can go check that out, we'll talk about it when we return.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile on this Tuesday. Glad to have you along. Big thank you to Mobile County Sheriff Sam Cochran. Your chance to ask the sheriff. We do it on the second Tuesday of every month. And then press conference 9:30 tomorrow. Talk about annexation issues for the city. Get into more details on that tomorrow, I guess, after that 9:30 press conference, and we'll try to bring you that audio on our show tomorrow. All right, and I look up, and it's like friends, so Barry Lee Gay joining me now to talk about Touch a Truck, and this has gotten to be very big for the big kids and the little kids.
Yeah, the big kids, I swear, I think the dads love it more than the little kids do.
Don't hate the dads on this. We're
living your dreams.
Yes, if somebody has not gone and done Touch a Truck, what is this about? And let's talk about how this goes down and who this benefits.
Okay, so it is a great, cool, super cool event. There's really nothing like it on the Gulf Coast. Basically, it is every kind of truck you can imagine.
The big trucks.
Oh, big trucks. You got fire trucks, you got ambulances, police vehicles, school buses, tow trucks, bulldozers, excavators, cranes, garbage trucks, like pretty much any kind of truck you can think of. My husband would kill me if I didn't say his boom truck is going to be there.
Cool.
So I don't know exactly what a boom truck
is. It's a truck that has the boom that goes out.
I sort of get it. But anyway, so it's this Saturday at Hank Aaron Stadium.
Okay.
It's from 10 to 2, but one of the cool things is from 10 to 11, it's a sensory hour. So there's no noise, no honking, no lights. So if your child has sensory issues, mm-hmm. And that's a great time to come.
Because still can see the trucks. They can still climb on the fire truck, but the siren's not on. Yeah, they can still touch the ambulance, but the siren's not on.
There's not going to be any honking or sudden flashing or anything.
Right.
It's also great if you're a parent, if you want to keep your sanity.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good time to go. Because it gets a little loud after that.
Yes, and if you're somebody that loves the loud, it's going
to
be...
Then come on, 11 to 2, it'll be very loud.
And I joke about it being for the big kids too, but it's for everybody. These are a lot of us drive around and never have had a chance to sit in a vehicle like this or touch a vehicle like this or mess with it.
It is actually really cool. One of the great things is barring any emergency, we hope that they won't need it, but Life Flight, the helicopter, will be there. Last year cool. It came, it was the first year, and it was the first time I'd ever seen, that sort of helicopter, and mm-hmm. It's amazing. It's an ambulance that flies, and it's really cool just to be able to talk to the people that are in there, that do that, and they can tell you all about it. But, there's kids are fascinated with garbage trucks and garbage men, and they get to talk to them, and they think that's just the coolest thing. And it's a great thing because these people are donating their time to be there, and they bring their vehicles, and
us all get our dang handprints all over everything.
Yes. Hey, that's one thing. Specifically, there will be hand washing stations. Okay. So they wanted me to mention that.
So after the Sullivan kids, we all go get some chicken, and then we show up there. We can wash up before we might put chicken grease.
And you got to wash your hands.
Before you go touching
before
anything.
Before you touch anything,
Okay, so this, and obviously having it there at the Hank is a great place because you need some space to park these vehicles.
Yeah, so it's set up in the parking lot, and they're just spread out everywhere. In addition to Life Flight, there is also going to be the FedEx NASCAR that is driven by, hold on, I have to look at my notes for this one, Joe Gibbs.
Okay. I don't know. The two of us, at least two of us in here, Dalton will come in here, or Bill will come in here and help us in a second. I'm not, my NASCAR savvy is not good, but you can come up. It's like the real car that races.
It may be a replica, but okay. It is an actual NASCAR car.
Okay. When people come out and somebody's asking, can we get in the vehicles?
Yeah, you can climb all over everything.
You can sit in the driver's seat of the fire truck.
Yes, you can do that. You can climb all over the equipment.
Do you know how many pictures will be, you do because you're doing this every year, how many pictures will be taken with, here I am with the children driving the fire truck?
And it's fun to see because you can see your children as they age, how much they've grown. So we go every year and it's fun to see them driving the fire truck, and then the next year they're a little bigger and a little bigger.
Right.
So
how do we just pull up there to the there, because there's that booth there at the front. How do we do we pay as we come in? What do we do?
Yeah, so there's this year we have an online option.
Okay.
First of all, so it's $20 per car, and I guess you asked about, and I didn't mention it, who the money goes to. It's for the USA Health Mitchell Cancer Institute.
Fantastic.
Which is a fantastic organization. And this event specifically benefits pediatric cancer research. So it's an event for kids of all ages, and the money is going to kids.
Great.
In this area to try to help, find cures for pediatric cancer and issues that affect those that unfortunately have to deal with that. So, and it also benefits Adoption Rocks, which is a great family organization. So, but if you want to come out, it's $20 per carload, so you can get the biggest car in the neighborhood, mm-hmm. load up all the kids, and you can pay at the gate. Please bring cash. It does make things a lot easier. But you can also...
So $20 cash, y'all. Just have that on your person.
Yep. You can also order online ahead of time, the entry fee, if you want to do that.
Okay. If we do it online, where do we go online?
Well, there's a Facebook event. It's just Touch a Truck. And then,
okay. On Facebook, Touch a Truck.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And then I sent you the link, so maybe
Well, we'll put it up
tweet
on...
it out.
Okay, there we go.
First.
Yeah, well, let's do that. We'll make it even. See, Mary Lee knows better than this. So just instead of you remembering the address, I'll send it out on the Twitter and the Facebook feed.
Yeah, I'll try to make it easy.
All right. Yeah, we can do that. All right. So we'll put it up there. But this is Saturday, and the quiet portion starts at 10?
At 10, and it's 10 to 11.
Okay.
And then the full event is 10 to 2. And we'll have food. You can come out and you can eat. And
dinner on the grounds, like we can have dinner there while we're
You can get all the unhealthy food that you want,
and then
touch the trucks with your dirty paws.
See, that's the I'm thinking I get the grease on the Sullivan kids' hands and they're than me, and then we get near the vehicle, but there is somewhere for us to wash said grease off before we get picture one of the firefighters going, don't get near my paint,
get close to me for the picture. You can wash your hands right before you walk up.
It's also, I mean, you said it's four kids and it's four kids, right? I mean, it's a place that the kids can get out there and they can be noisy, they can holler, they can run around,
they can climb and do it in a safe environment, and so it's really something that they don't get an opportunity to do except for this event.
When else are the kids going to get to climb on a fire truck or an ambulance or a NASCAR vehicle? Exactly right. That's why you got to come out. All right. So we will put those links up on our Facebook page and on the Twitter feed. Go through and get your tickets in advance. But if you are a Mobile procrastinator, it's okay. $20 at the gate there for a car, per car.
Cash.
Cash dollars.
Yes.
Bring them in. Thank you.
Thank you.
This is going to be fun. We'll remind you more of this between now and then. But Saturday, starting at 10, it's your chance to come out and touch a truck. I got a story. I wonder if I'll tell that story one day, just of what one of the car dealers in Mobile used to tell me when I do these live broadcasts from their car dealership. This has been years ago, decades ago. And they said, what are you bringing for food out to my car lot? And it'd always be pizza or chicken. And they just rolled their eyes. And they said, the people, they're going to just put their grease hands over every vehicle. And I said, indeed they will. Indeed, they will. And we're going to bring more chicken and more pizza. So it worked out for me. I don't know how it worked out for them over the years, but it worked out for me. All right. We are out of here for now. Paul Feinbaum Show on the way next. See you tomorrow morning at 6 for Mobile Mornings right here on FM Talk 106.5.